give Him praise this evening and tell Him how much you are thankful for all the things that He's done in your life, and how you just want to continue to give Him thanks, and that should always be the thing that you do when you come into His presence, is giving Him thanks and giving Him praise and worshiping His holy name. And we just want to sing unto Him and ask Him for His Spirit this evening. So continue to lift up your voices unto the Lord and open up your heart and open up your spirit this evening for His Spirit to be poured into you so that you may be filled once again. Just continue to talk unto the Lord. Just continue to just lift up His holy and mighty name.
Rain down. Let
Father, we thank you for your spirit in this place. Let it continue to change the atmosphere, and let your spirit continue to overtake us, overtake our lives, and continue to pour out your spirit on this church, oh God. May we continue to grow and flourish, oh God, in you. May we continue to be nourished by your perfect and holy word, oh Heavenly Father. I pray, oh God, that you open us up, oh God, this evening and touch our hearts in a mighty and special way, oh God. Continue to pour your spirit in us as we continue to ask for your help, oh God, to be released of our flesh, oh God, released of our carnality, oh Heavenly Father. We thank you, oh God, for your mighty and awesome presence, oh God, and I pray, oh Heavenly Father, that we don't leave this place the same. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go around and welcome one another and tell them that there's no one like Jesus. Amen.
Receive the offering. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
So even as we're about to part with our substance, I mean, we're giving to God what belongs to Him already. So we can't do it grudgingly. We cannot. Even if you've given before, no. It's a new service. It's a Rancho service. So you have to give again. And you have to do it with a cheerful heart. That's what the Bible says. So that a blessing will come upon you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for another service here. We pray that as we're about to give unto your ministry, unto the work of God, Almighty God, may you bless us, Almighty. May you open the windows of heaven, Almighty God. May our prayers be answered. We thank you, Father, for the man of God is about to share the word of God into our heart. May our hearts be receptive, Almighty God. We bless you and we thank you for our pastor. We thank you for the word he has for us. In Jesus' name, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. So we welcome our sister Inet to minister for us.
Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful to you for this afternoon. Thank you for your presence and for your blessing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who quickens our mortal bodies. We pray for alertness and sharpness to your word in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from slumber in Jesus' name, and help us to be poised to do your will, to learn and to hear more from you, that we might please you more and more. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who made it to church this afternoon. And thank you for your grace and mercy. I declare that they will all not leave the same, because you will visit us mightily through your word. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Right. It's powerful. Okay. So we were sharing last week in this place the reasons why tithing does not work for some Christians, isn't it? Yeah. Right. So I believe that this message on tithing is enlightening us, and we're growing in our understanding of tithing. Amen. Amen. And we're gradually becoming more and more faithful tithers. What do you think? Are we becoming faithful tithers? Hallelujah. And I believe that God is going to bless us. We will experience the blessings that God promised to all people who tithe. Amen. As we are faithful with that which is the Lord's, because God said it's for him, isn't it? So really, it looks like, you know, let's read it. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse number 30. Now, you see how the Lord says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, you know, is the Lord's, isn't it? Yeah, whether it's of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's the Lord's. So no matter what you do for a living, no matter how your increase comes, whether it's a tip or a salary, it's the Lord's. Amen. Hallelujah. It is the Lord's, because, you know, the seed of the land is the direct one. That's more like, you know, then the fruit of the tree is like the tree is the one that has grown on the land. And then, so that's secondary. That's where your tip falls. Hallelujah. So wherever it's coming from, it is the Lord's. Amen. And like I was saying this morning, it's the Lord's, but it's with you. Do you understand? And but ownership is not the same as possession. That if you possess something, it doesn't mean that you own it. Amen. So it's the Lord's, but it's with you. So that tithing even becomes a test of your faithfulness. That if I give my iPad to you, will you give it back to me? Do you see the thing? Now, I give my iPad to you. It is mine. It's in your hands. Give it to me. Oh, well, you know, I want to do something with it. You know, I want to use it for my homework. Oh, I want to do something, you know, I want to take photographs, you know. Where's my iPad? Oh, well, I left it yesterday, next week, you know. And the Lord is just looking at you. Do you see? It's the worst of people that do this kind of thing. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you give something to someone, and then when you come back later for your thing, they're telling you stories. Has it happened to you before?
Yeah.
Yeah. You give something to someone, and it's your thing. You give it to them. Then you come back and you say, excuse me, may I have my thing, please? And they start to scratch their head. Please, I'm not at home right now. I'm not at home right now, but I'll be back later in the evening. Then in the evening, oh, well, you know, I'm sorry. There was a delay, something, something. You know, people who owe you money usually have such excuses. You see, that's why if you don't want to spoil a relationship with someone, don't lend them money. Just give them a gift. Give them whatever you can give as a gift. And turn your back and don't expect anything. Do you understand? And rather even expect a blessing from the Lord. Because between the Lord and that person, I think you can trust God more. God is not a man that he should lie. It's an indictment on our reputation. Pastor Charles, we need to do something about it. Pastor Muneni, what do you think? God has really gotten us. Daniel, I think God has really gotten us there. He has clearly, you know, separated himself and distanced himself from us because of this one characteristic that we have. Amen. So it's a test of your faithfulness that if I give my thing to you, will you give it back to me? Or when it's time to give it back to me, you're going to tell me stories. You're going to say all kinds of things and find all kinds of things and use them as reasons to swindle me out of what belongs to me when I have given you your portion. What do you think? Because you could have had nothing. There are many people in the world who have nothing. Nothing. They do not have any hope of a salary. There's nothing. They just go through the day and, you know, whatever happens is whatever happens. If nothing happens, nothing happens. And I'm not talking about the man who lives under the bridge. I'm talking about people you may even know. Friends and family members who have nothing. You know, some people go to bed hungry. You know, I was speaking to one brother recently who told me, like, look, sometimes I'm so hungry. You know, and you cannot even believe that such a thing is happening right near you. Amen. So when people come close to you, you must try to offer them food. Isn't it? One of the key components of good hospitality is food. Offer food. Give the person food. If they don't eat it, that's their problem. But try to be a food person. Amen. Because it's not easy to be hungry. It's not easy to be hungry. Hallelujah. So God is testing us often with every opportunity we have to pay tithe. Isn't it? Yeah. And do not allow your needs to rob you of the blessing of a tither. Hallelujah. You will always have a need. You will always have what? A need. Amen. Everybody has a need. Isn't it? Yeah. Like I was sharing with you this morning. Even rich people have needs. Yeah. Rich people also have a reason why they shouldn't give the money to you. You see what I'm saying? You would have thought that as the person's income is increasing, so will his giving increase. But you see, they start like that. This is his income. This is his income. This is his giving. Initially, they start and they grow proportionally. Then at a point, the giving just goes like that, and the income continues to go, and the giving is flat. That's what happens. Because they feel that I'm already giving enough, isn't it? And a lover of money, the Bible says he will never be satisfied with money. That means if you're thinking that he will arrive at the place where he says, I have enough, that day is not coming anytime soon. Hallelujah. Amen. So I pray that God will deliver us from the love of money, which he says is the root of all evil. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So let's continue from where we left off last week as we shared on why tithing does not work for some Christians. Amen. Now, number one reason I gave you last week was because of what? They do not recognize what? God's provision when it comes. Tithing doesn't work for some people because they don't recognize God's provision. They cannot see that actually what they say hasn't worked, has worked. Are you getting it? They do not see that God has already blessed you, that God's hand is in it, and that God did it. And I think we read about Joshua, who was trying to remind the people and recounting all the experiences they had been through, all the places they had passed through, the battles they had fought and won, all the people they had chased out of their lands and so on. And he was explaining that actually I did it. Hallelujah. He said, I did it. I did it. It wasn't you. It was the Lord. Hallelujah. He explained how, you know, some people tried to curse them. And he said, but I blessed you still. You know, I blessed you in spite of someone's effort to curse you. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Let's go back to it. Let me just read one or two of those verses with you. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Where's Joshua? Okay. Chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. For the Lord our God, it is he that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight. Hallelujah. Which did those great signs in our sight. Great. Then you read verse 8. He said, I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand. Hallelujah. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land. Hallelujah. Look at it. He says, this land belongs to somebody, but it's coming to you because I gave it to you. Amen. We read that verse in the script, the verse this morning that said that except the Lord builds the house, except God builds the house, you labor in vain who is trying to build it. Except God builds the life, except God builds the family, except God builds the business, he says your efforts are in vain. So when you see something that is working, it means God has joined it somehow. Do you understand? God has determined that it should work. Hallelujah. And here's an example that Joshua is reminding them that I brought you, the Lord said, I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. They fought with you. They fought with you. That means struggles are not strange, and they don't mean that God is not with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Having a difficult time or having a struggle or fighting with something or, you know, going through some difficulty is not a sign that God is not with you. Hallelujah. It's not a sign at all that God is what not with you. Yesterday, one of the a person called me and told me about how the doctors found something, you know, with their child. Something with their child was not so well, and they went to the hospital and how the doctors found something. And the wife was all sad and saying that why is the Lord, you know, has the Lord allowed such a thing to happen, etc. You know, and I was encouraging them to know that he's God. Do you understand? He's God. And we need to learn to know that God can show up anywhere in your life, if that life belongs to him. Yeah. Do you understand? If the life belongs to him, he can show up in any part of it. He can show up before the trouble so it never happens. He can show up within the trouble so the trouble does not have a certain effect. He can show up after the trouble to glorify himself and show people what he can do out of a story like yours. Do you see what I'm saying? And they're all in the Bible. So you have people that God delivers from entering into a certain situation. Then you have people that God allows to enter a situation but does not allow a certain outcome of the situation. Then you have some people that God allows to enter a situation and experience the outcome and deliver them from the outcome. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he did that with his own son, because God did not save Jesus from death. Did you see that? He didn't save Jesus from death, and he watched it all unfold. And Peter and co, they thought that God was going to arise and let his enemies be scattered. But God never arose. And he allowed it to happen. And Jesus died, was crucified, and was buried 3 days. And the devil and his host and everybody thought, we have finished him. Then he rose up, because God was not finished. God was still with him. Once the life is owned by God, he has the liberty to show up in any part of it. Just like once the apartment is owned by you, you have the liberty to be in any of the rooms in it. Is it not the case? Yeah. So if your life, you must worry about whether your life belongs to the Lord or not. But if your life belongs to the Lord, you must not worry, because God will show up when he deems it right to show up. Jesus was told that his friend Lazarus was sick, and he pretended he didn't hear it. Then they told him that it's become critical. He said, no problem. Said he's in the ICU. He said, no problem. Then they said, Lazarus is dead. Then he said, let's go and visit Lazarus. And the people were wondering, did you hear what they said? The guy is dead. They buried him. Said, let's go and visit Lazarus. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, because if the life is owned by God, there is nothing like it's too late. There is no too late circumstance when it comes to God. So whether I show up preventing him from being sick, or healing him while he's sick, or allowing the sickness to kill him and I raise him from the dead, it's still me. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So we need to know that. So I was encouraging my dear sister that, you know, you shouldn't be discouraged at all, because you could easily not have known this. You see, you could easily not have known this. The child complained of some other symptom, and then when they went to check it, they found out that symptom was nothing, but rather this has come up. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So if God had not even stirred up whatever brought that scare, that thing that was silently hiding somewhere would not even have. That's a miracle already. You see what I'm saying? That's a miracle already. And God will not reveal something to you that he will not deliver you from. Can I have an amen? Amen. So we must watch out for his hand and recognize it when it has happened. When God has done something, you need to acknowledge it. That God, he says, they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. You got the upper hand. You got the victory. Amen. That ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. So it looked like you were fighting. It looked like you were throwing the punches, and it looked like they were falling at your punches. But really, God was the one behind those punches. And God was the one giving you the victory. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding it? He said, I gave them into your hand. Then verse 10, he said, verse 9, then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still. Wow. I just love this part. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Bible says, who is he that says something and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Who is he that says you're a failure and it comes to pass when God has not declared you're a failure? Who is he that says that you will not do well when the Lord has not declared that you will not do well? Who is he that says that you're a write-off when God is not finished with you yet? Who is he that says your life belongs to the junkyard when God says he's not done with you yet? Amen. Have you not in your lifetime seen things brought from the junkyard and resurrected and given new life? Yeah. Who is he that says you are done for when God has not said so? So Balaam came, somebody went to hire him. Said, come, you are a prophet. Everything you say comes to pass. Come and curse these people for me. You know, and Balaam went and he stood, was trying to do his prophetic things, was about to declare a curse. Every time he spoke, the Lord blessed the people. When he said, be cursed, the Lord will bless them. He says, what? How dare you curse somebody that I have blessed? Wow. You cannot curse somebody that I have blessed. That is why your whole aim in life must be to please God. Because the Bible says, if the ways of a man please God, he causes even his enemies to be at peace with him. There is no one on this earth who can curse you. There is no one on this earth who can speak an evil word against you who will experience results and experience its fulfillment when the Lord has not commanded it. When the Lord has not commanded it. When the Lord has not commanded it. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So feel free. Share your ideas. Don't be afraid that someone is going to steal your idea and take it to a witchcraft someplace somewhere and destroy it. It can't happen. When God has blessed you with such a bright idea, who can take that idea and turn it into what? It will burn in their hands. Because the Bible says, whatever comes from God, it overcomes. It overcomes. Hallelujah. He says, I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Then verse 12 is another one. I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with thy bow. Hallelujah. I see you winning some battles without your sword and your bow. Hallelujah. I see you winning battles that your education didn't bring to you, that your connections didn't bring to you, that your citizenship didn't bring to you, that your qualifications didn't bring to you. He said, you will have the victory, but not with your sword. It's not with your sword. There are some battles God allows you to fight them. There are other battles God just delivers them into your hands. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are some foods you cook them and you eat them. But there are other foods that are just given to you and you just have to eat it. You can't insist that you cook everything. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can't insist that you cook everything. There are times when somebody else will cook for you and yours is just to enjoy it. God wants to give you a treat. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. Amen. Concentrate on God. Focus on God. Look at some of the things the Lord has done for you in the past. See how far the Lord has brought you. See where he has brought you. You know, look at the things you have overcome already. Don't look at what has not been overcome. Amen. Look at what you have overcome already. Hallelujah. Look at where you have come from. Look at how many things you have come through already. Amen. And let that form the basis of your focus and concentration on God. Amen. And I tell you that the past is just laying the track for the future. And the same God who took you through the past will take you also through into the future. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Right. So let's continue. Number two reason why tithing does not work for certain Christians is because they do not offer, you know, an acceptable offering. An acceptable offering. They do not offer an acceptable offering. Hallelujah. Now, the fact that your money was given in church and it fell in the offering basket doesn't mean that it's accepted by the Lord. Do you understand? Accepted by the church is not the same as accepted by the Lord. Hallelujah. The church is just the receptacle. The Lord is behind that. Do you see what I'm saying? You see how sometimes you can go to the ATM and make a deposit and the ATM accepts it. Then the bank calls you later and tells you it's wrong. Has it happened to you before? Maybe you don't deposit enough money at the bank. But I see you depositing big, big checks. Amen. Do you believe it? That the days are coming when you go to the bank and you put the big, big checks there? Yeah. But the point I'm making is that the ATM accepts anything you put through it. It will just accept it. But ATM has accepted it. Doesn't mean that the bank to whom you are giving the money has accepted it. They use a different criteria. For the ATM, once it passes, there's a name, it's a check. It doesn't look like it's fake. There are numbers on it. He says, in, come in. But there's somebody behind the ATM who takes what the ATM has accepted and scrutinizes it. It is that person that looks at it and says, no, this thing is not good. This thing, there's a problem with it. This one is not working properly. Do you see what I'm saying? So the ATM may accept the money, may accept the offering, but it doesn't mean that God has accepted it. Hallelujah. Amen. Many people feel that once I gave it to the church and the church didn't give it back to me, just like the ATM doesn't give it back to you, do you understand? Then it's accepted by the Lord. So people give a lot of unacceptable offerings. Do you understand? Accepted by the church, but not accepted by the Lord. Now, there are three kinds of offerings that are unacceptable to God. Hallelujah. In Isaiah, the Lord rejects, number one, offerings that are given out of unrighteous lives. Do you understand? The Lord rejects offerings because of their unrighteous lives. Now, look at this passage here in Isaiah chapter 1 from verse 11. Isaiah chapter 1 from verse 11. Have you found Isaiah chapter 1 and from verse 11? He says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Verse 12. When ye come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? You know, verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. Can you see that? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. Can you see that? Yeah. God is really bored with these guys. Isn't it? And he says, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. I mean, look at someone who thinks he's doing something for God and compare it with how God feels about what he's doing. This person is probably even complaining that he's really doing a lot for the Lord. is probably saying that, you know, it's really tiring. You know, I've made a lot of sacrifices. I'm into new moons and into Sabbaths and appointed feasts and solemn meetings. You get it? And all these things, I'm doing all these things. In fact, they are really a lot. And the Lord is saying, who has asked you for these things? This person is saying that, look, the price of incense has gone up lately, but I've been able to, by the grace of God, kept my incense burning at a consistent level. And, you know, it's costing me a lot. You know, it's seven, the Lord is really costing me a lot. And the Lord is saying, incense is an abomination unto me. I don't even like it. It's like spending money to cook some expensive meat like octopus and squid, you know, and expensive exotic meats like bat. Expensive meats like bat meat. Ine, I told you how to learn how to cook bat. Yeah, exotic meats like bat meat and other such meats. You know, and thinking that you're preparing a delicacy for someone who cannot even stand the name of it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. The person says, no, at all. He says, they are a trouble unto me. Your new moons, your appointed feast, my soul hateth, they are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. I am weary. I am tired. I am worn out. I don't want this from you. Wow. And when ye spread forth your hands. When ye spread forth your hands. When ye spread forth your hands. I will hide my eyes. That means I will not even look at it. Wow. I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers. You say all night. Yeah. Wow. All night. You get it. And sometimes when people are really sleepy at an all night and survive it, they feel a sense of achievement. Great sense of achievement. It's not been easy, but it's been worth it. You're kidding yourself. He says, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. That's a problem. Hallelujah. There's a problem. That it's not just, you know, what is being offered, but the state of the person offering what is being offered often determines whether we accept it or not. Is it not true? That is why if a beggar was to come to you offering you a burger, the one we eat. Do you understand? And you look at the person in his, you know, dirty and wretched state, and he gives it to you. You may accept it out of politeness, but you won't eat it. Is it not true? Yeah. When people offer things with dirty hands, one time I went to this restaurant and it was a Mexican place and the lady was making these tacos for me and she was just in the, first of all, I had a problem with the fact that she was using her bare hands to do this thing, you know, and then she's just going on and just putting, doing the things and then somewhere along the line she just did this. You see, and when she did that, that's when I realized that this thing is not going to work. I hid my eyes from it. This thing is not going to work. I'm not going to eat this thing. So I took it, I paid for it, and I went outside, and straight into the trash it went. Yes. Not that it's not food, but you see, the person who is offering something you like, if the person is dirty, often it affects your perception and how you look at the thing they are giving you. Is it not true? Yes, that's what God is saying. that I have a problem with all your sacrifices because of you. There's blood on your hands. You know? And you're trying to say it doesn't matter. It's what the hands contain that matters. As long as I have something good in my hand, it doesn't matter. But it does matter. Hallelujah. It does matter that the person who is cooking and serving the food is dirty. Her hands are dirty, you know, and the person is serving them with dirty hands. Well, the food may look fried, but you don't want it. Hallelujah. It affects you. So God is saying that when you make all these sacrifices and you make all these prayers, I will not hear because your hands are full of blood. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the word of God? Then he says, wash you. Bath. Go and bath. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Hallelujah. Cease to do evil. Wash you. Wash you. Wash you. You. Not just what is in your hands, but you. Hallelujah. Amen. You. He said, wash you. Wash you. And make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. And look at the next verse, verse 17. He says, learn to do well. Amen. He says, learn to do well. You've got to learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Don't think that you can just blind me to all these things because you gave a tithe. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. That all of these things are affecting my relationship with you. They are affecting the outcomes of your prayers. They are affecting the things that happen in your life. They are affecting you. And do not think that just because you paid the tithe, it will kill all of these things. It will make all these things not matter. No, they will matter. They will matter. Hallelujah. Because like we were sharing last week, good is a product of a lot of things. Many things have to come together for you to see good. So it's not just that you paid your tithe that makes that big difference. Do you understand what I'm saying? It may open the door, but you have all these foxes that will come in to ruin the good thing that is coming your way. Can I have an amen? So it goes hand in hand. Amen. You need to have a righteous life. A life that is consistent with the offerings you are offering. Hallelujah. When God is pleased with you, then your offerings also please him. Hallelujah. But God is not someone you can bribe. You don't bribe God. You don't tell God, listen, let me pay my tithe, and then you just forget about this thing. Don't look there. You know, don't pretend you haven't seen that I'm doing this or that. No, that's not how we walk with God. Can I have an amen? Amen? That's not how we walk with God. He said, learn to do well. Learn to do well. It may be a struggle. It may take some time, but commit to it. Learn to do well. Amen. Learn to do well. Learn to do well, and it will be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. Amen. The second type of offering, or the second reason why God does not accept offerings is, you know, because people secretly worship other gods. You know, people secretly worshiping other gods. All right. And that verse, Amos chapter 5 and verse 22. Amos chapter 5, verse 22 says, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Isn't it? Though you offer burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. Can you imagine that? As you're singing to the Lord, he says, it's noise. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not hear the melody of thy vows. I don't like your violins. I don't like your strings and your keyboards, your saxophone. Take all these things away from me. Just take them away. Wow. And let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. That's what I want. Hallelujah. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and your churn, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore I will cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the third reason why offerings are not accepted is when they are not in proportion to what a person has. Hallelujah. When they are not in proportion to what a person has, isn't it? So God always looks at what he has given you to assess the real value of what you have brought to him. Isn't it? God always... Do you remember how a widow gave a mite and Jesus said she had given the biggest offering? Yeah. Yeah, and everybody found that probably ridiculous. And they thought, how can you say that this old lady has given bigger offering than everybody else? I mean, there are rich, rich guys who are casting in bags. Yeah, they're putting bags in the offering bag. Do you see what I'm saying? Then a widow shows up and she has just, you know, whatever a mite is, that's what she has. And she drops it in the offering and Jesus whispers to someone, see that lady there? And somebody's asking, the one with the wig? No, not that one. Peter is asking, is it the Brazilian hair? No. Matthew says Peruvian hair? No. No. How about the one with the high heels? No, no, no. No high heels here. I'm talking about the widow. And they are not seeing her. They cannot even see her because they don't even respect her enough to count her. So Jesus says, I'm talking about that woman over there who has no job, who has nothing, but who just came here. Oh, that widow. Yeah. And what did you say again? Say, I say that she gave the biggest offering. And they are thinking, wow. They even check to see if is it a gold coin or what. Hallelujah. Because the value, the real value of what you gave is in relation to what you have. Actually, it is assessed by what it means to you. Do you see what I'm saying? What it means to you. So that is how God assesses it. Amen. So as God prospers you and blesses you, God is expecting that you also grow in your acknowledgement of his role in giving you what you have. Hallelujah. Amen. It shouldn't be that as God is blessing you like that, you have grown up to this point and are running a flat graph. Do you see what I'm saying? In spite of how high this guy continues to go over time, you are just down here the same. God is expecting the ratio to be the same. God wants the ratio from between that and that to be the same. As he prospers you, it must reflect in how you also give to support and to give to his cause. Hallelujah. Is it a fair expectation? Is it a fair expectation? Yeah. And as you yourself, you see, as you are prospering, you see that you are changing things. Everything about you is prospering. Your car has changed. Your house has changed. Your clothes are changing. You see, as people get more prosperous, even their tastes also sort of get more sophisticated and more prosperous. Is it not true? Now you no longer wear Payless shoes. Where do you start? You start from Walmart, isn't it? Then as you prosper, you go to Payless. Then as you are prospering, you are now going to places where, like when you go into the shop, you see the shoe, there's only one. And you are sure that if you buy this, you are not going to see within the next 50 miles or 50-mile radius, you will not meet another person wearing the same shoe. Yeah, that's how you begin to have taste for all kinds of things. A long time ago, I remember one brother brought me a pair of shoes, and well, I took them coolly and I put them somewhere. Then, after a while, he drew my attention. He said, the shoes that he gave to me, have I looked at the shoes? So I looked at them. Yeah, they're nice. It looked like saying they're nice is not enough. Then he showed me. He said, look, Pastor, those are ostrich leather. Ostrich. So I went and took the shoe again and I looked at it. Then I saw that, yeah, the thing says somewhere, ostrich leather. And I looked at it. It's like chicken meat. Yeah. You see, so then I started to wear it.
Wow.
I mean, not even so much that it looked so nice to me, but that I felt good. You get it? It felt good that, you know, I'm wearing ostrich leather. Ostrich leather. Yeah. And I don't know what, if it's supposed to be expensive, or at least I know that when you go to Payless, you don't find any ostrich leather there. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God expects that as he's blessing you, your indebtedness to him must also grow with the blessings. Your sense of indebtedness to God, that God, you have blessed me, that this is really your hand. Because, you know, like Joshua said, if God does not give them to your hands, if God does not give it into your hands, you will fight and lose the battle. Hallelujah. You will fight even the most simple things, you know, very simple things. Like sometimes when I go to the golf course and I'm playing, here's the hole and here's my ball. And I feel like after this one, I can even just close my eyes, you know. And then I stand there and then I putt the thing and it goes somewhere else. Yeah. I always, and in that situation, when I'm in that situation, I always hear the voice of the Lord. The verse, except the Lord helps you. Look, even the most obvious, even the most straightforward shots, you think you've got it, but you'll be surprised. That you pat the ball and it goes towards the hole and towards the hole, and just before it enters, it makes a right turn. I said, there's an angel there that says this way. Oh, what? No, seriously, you have to believe in these things. You really have to believe in these things. Otherwise, you're going to, you will have a heart attack. You will be so disappointed one day. You will be so frustrated. You cannot believe it, because this was well within your range. This was well within your control. I can handle this. Your skills can handle this. Your qualifications can handle this. Not only do you have skills and qualifications and experience, you've been connected. Because any one of these could have landed you the position. Any one of these could have put you in that seat. Any one of these could have given you that contract. Any one of these. The skills, the experience, and so on, or even whom you know. But you are combining all these forces. Why should you not have this? And you see, you just do the thing like that, and it's rolling slowly, then it makes a right turn. No, it's fantastic. Hallelujah. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge that it is he that gives you power to get wealth. That's what the Bible says. It is he that gives you. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. It says, but thou shalt remember. Thou shalt remember. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Remember the Lord your God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Say amen.
Amen.
It is he that giveth thee power. God is the one who gives you power. Hallelujah. He says that you must be careful. What does it say in verse 16? He says, who fed thee with manna in the wilderness, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end? Verse 17. And thou shalt say in thy heart, he says, you see, verse 15 actually says that you forget the Lord. Do you see? He says you forget the Lord and you start talking like this. And you say that it is, you say in your heart, it is my power and the might of my hand. It is my power and the might of my hand that has gotten me this wealth. Hallelujah. Look, as you serve the Lord, you're going to be blessed.
Amen.
As you serve the Lord, you're going to be blessed. Your life will not be like this forever. Do you understand? You're not going to see double digit, even single digit bank balances forever. Do you see what I'm saying? The digits are going to be multiplying. They're going to go from single to double to triple and quadruple. Do you understand? And they're going to be growing and growing and growing. As you serve the Lord, it's a matter of time, and it's just a matter of time. You will see these things come to pass. Hallelujah. David said, I've been young and I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaking, nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. When you read the Bible, you see all of God's favorite people, all the great people in the Bible that walk with God, they don't seem like they're poor people. Do you think they're poor people? They didn't serve the Lord for money. They were not following the Lord for money. You don't see any of them doing, you know, three this for this blessing or this for that type of blessing or trying to get some money. You don't see them doing any of those things. If, as a matter of fact, someone like Abraham, you don't even see him doing any business in particular. It seemed like Abraham was someone who just followed God and followed him all the time. Isn't it? But the Bible says Abraham was very rich. Very rich. Very rich. Hallelujah. So God blesses people. When people serve God properly, God blesses them. God will bless them. I mean, how can you believe that, you know, you will say to someone, God bless you, and God will bless them, and God will skip you? As for you, he won't bless you. God will bless you. God blesses people who serve him properly. Hallelujah. But he wants you to acknowledge it. He says, you must be careful that you don't say that it's my power and the might of my hand that has gotten me this wealth. Do you understand? And often when you don't pay your tithe, that's what you're saying. You're saying that it's my power. You see the way some people talk. The other day I met a guy. He says he has done research. He says he has researched the Bible and so on. And I was just thinking of all the subjects in the Bible. How come it's only tithe that you've done so much research on? And I was telling him that I think that that is actually a revelation of your heart rather than anything else. I think you are a lover of money. That is why, because you have to give 10%, you have to give a tithe. It has turned you into a researcher. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I think there are other more controversial subjects in the Bible that if I were you, I'd research. Why don't you go research and tell us whether 144,000 people are going to heaven or not? Do that research and come and tell us. Why don't you research about divorce? Because as far as we are concerned, most divorced people remarry. And Jesus said clearly that when a person puts away his wife, then he should stay single. So where is the bridge? I thought that would be a good research topic. But you're leaving all of those and you're just focusing on money because it has to do with money. Yeah, because you have to give 10%. You have become a research person. Says, I've read books. Says, I've read this and that. And it's Old Testament, really. Old Testament, then creation is also Old Testament. Because we don't see any creation in the New Testament. So then the whole basis of God having created the world is bogus. We should just follow the evolutionists. We should follow them. Because after all, in the New Testament, we just start with seeing angels and then that's it. And, you know, virgins are having babies. All these fantastic stories. That's how the New Testament begins. So let's forget about creation because it's Old Testament. You cannot hide your stinginess. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Rather, you should acknowledge that, Lord, you know, I know that this is true, but I find it difficult. See, God is not afraid of people acknowledging that this is true. I'm supposed to do this, but it's difficult for me. Help me. You will attract more of his grace and his help. Do you see what I'm saying? God will help you. The Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because we don't have a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We don't have a high priest who cannot understand it when you fall, who cannot understand it when you struggle with something, who cannot understand why you falter at something. Our high priest can understand because he's walked there before. The Bible says he was in all points tempted like us we are and without sin. He mastered it. He knows just how to do it. He can relate with your feelings. He can relate with your struggles. But to pretend that they are not there and to start to become some kind of a theologian and some kind of a learned person who does research into these things. Do you get it? When there are other more burning issues, why don't you research the concept of speaking in tongues? How is a man able to speak a language he's not able to understand and yet speak mysteries to God and have answers to his prayers? I think that would be a good research topic. Research salvation. And tell us how a person can say a sinner's prayer and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Let your blood wash me. And that person is saved. How? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Don't say the power of my hand and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But instead, verse 18, instead, you must remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Hallelujah. Remember him because it is he who gives you power. And as you acknowledge him, he'll give you even more power. You will have more power to get even more wealth. God is not afraid of anybody getting wealthy. God is not afraid of money. He says the silver and the gold are mine. He said the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. If God was hungry, he wouldn't be asking you for food. God is not afraid of wealth. Hallelujah. Abraham was rich and he was God's friend. God is not an enemy of wealthy people. Do you understand? God is not jealous of your wealth. There's nothing you have that God wants, that God is dying and wishing he had. God is not that kind of a good one. Amen. As you humble yourself and acknowledge him, he's going to bless you. Amen. As God increases you, remember that you must give in proportion to what he has given you. Read this last scripture as we close the service. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. He says, if there be first a willing mind, if there be first a willing mind, if there be first a willing mind. Can we read it together? Everybody just read this verse with me. It says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. Hallelujah. So acceptance is related to what you have. Is it not the case? Yeah. It is accepted according to what a man hath. What a man hath. And not according to what he hath not. Amen. So you are a rich man and then you say, oh, well, today I want to give my widow's mite. That's not you. You're not a widow. God has blessed you and you always want to give a widow's mite. Are you surprised that it's not accepted? Because that's not what you have. According to that, he hath not. It means that's not what you have. Isn't that what it means? Yeah, it's not. It's accepted according to what you have, what the reality is, not the pretense. Hallelujah. It is accepted. So God is not expecting the same from everybody in terms of amounts. He's expecting the same in terms of ratios. He's expecting that the proportions stay the same. But the amounts vary according as he has blessed you. That's what he wants you to do. Amen. So I don't know how God has blessed you. And I don't even know what is in your heart. How much you're expecting from God. Many of us have big dreams. Huge. Our aspirations are large. You know. And God is not afraid of them. It's okay. So long as you also promise to be faithful. That to whom much is given, much is required. Hallelujah. So I pray that as you strive for God to bless you with much, you will also learn to give according as he has blessed you. And it will be a blessing for your life. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's share the grace as we close the service. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today and thank you for what we have learned. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord, for enlightening us this afternoon on how come some tithes and offerings don't work and don't yield the results that were promised. Because they are not an acceptable offering. They didn't qualify. They didn't pass. They didn't make the cut. Because of unrighteousness in our lives. Because of idol worship. Because we have made other things like gods. Other things. Our jobs. Our education. And so many other things. Sometimes even our families. All these things have come to mean more to us than you mean to us. We're making gods out of all these things, Lord. And you don't like that. We understand today. We accept it. And then, Lord, you also said that offerings are not accepted because they are not in proportion to what you have given. They don't reflect what you have given. I pray, Lord, that you deliver us from such errors in the name of Jesus. Be merciful unto us, Lord. We acknowledge that many times we falter, Lord. Many times we fall short. Many times our greed takes over and causes us not to rise up to the standards that you have set for us. But forgive us, Lord. Be merciful unto us. And bless us with humility, O God, to always remember where it all comes from, to always remember who is behind it all, to always remember the source, and to be careful to go come back to you, Lord, with the appropriate acknowledgement of your contribution to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you brought your tithe.